Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Dr. Catherine Wu from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and Harvard Medical School spoke about developing cancer vaccines as a cross-cutting approach for treating patients with different types of cancer. Areas of interest included neoantigens as a promising target for these vaccines, previous studies supporting the combination of this modality with other immunotherapeutic agents, and other ongoing efforts to make these treatments more accessible to patients.
What does current research show about targeting shared neoantigens with cancer vaccines, and what kind of advances do you anticipate in this area for 2024?
Neoantigens have shown a lot of promise as antigens to target for immunotherapy and has really been found to be kind of the driving antigens for efficacious responses. I think there's been a lot written about personalized neoantigens, given that there's so many different mutations per individual tumor, but the hope has been whether or not we can find shared targets that can allow us to focus on a few targets that can reach a broad swath of the population. There aren't many shared neoantigens that have been well vetted out, but I would say that the front runner right now is the KRAS mutation that's been observed in a lot of gastrointestinal cancers, also myeloma, some of the other solid tumors. I think that there is been considerable progress in vetting these targets out, not only for cancer vaccines, but also for cellular therapy. So I do anticipate that this is going to be an area of focus in the time to come.
Which disease types in particular do you think hold the most promise with respect to these cancer vaccines?
Cancer vaccines are really a cross-cutting approach. So I think that conceptually, it can be applicable across different types of cancers. I think where we are right now with technology, it's still going to be, at least for the personalized vaccines, it's most easy to envision in those cancers that have a high mutation burden where we can find lots of different sources of neoantigens to target. That being said, there's been very promising studies. One published this past year, 2023, from Memorial Sloan Kettering in pancreatic cancer. Our group also previously reported out a study in glioblastoma back in 2019, and this was also together with colleagues in Germany who also looked at glioblastoma as well. So I think that it is possible also for lower mutation burden tumors as well. I do think that there are many conceptual reasons for why cancer vaccines would partner well with other forms of immunotherapy, such as immune checkpoint blockade. And increasingly, I think one can envision how it can be coupled together with cellular therapy.
I know you said that these vaccines may kind of have a universal application, but with that said, are there any cancer types that have maybe not shown as much potential with respect to cancer vaccines? Are there any other strategies in development to target these disease types a little bit more optimally?
Sure. So I think, you know, for cancer vaccines to work, we need to have knowledge of the antigens that we're going to use to target and use the vaccine to stimulate an antigen-specific immune response. So I think currently the areas of challenge are those cancers that have either a lower mutation burden, and by that defined as those have lower single nucleotide variants or a low number of insertion deletions. We do know that these lower mutation burden tumors in all probability have other types of genomic alterations, but it really is a gap in our computational pipelines in terms of how we are able to identify them. So for example, they may be gene fusions. They may be the sequelae of structural variants. They could be also in alternate open reading frames. They could be related to splice variants. And so I think the major thrust of current ongoing research is how can we best define these alternate antigens that may be impactful for these lower mutation burden tumors that are still unmet need and better therapies are required.
And speaking of ongoing research, at the moment, are there any clinical trials assessing cancer vaccines that you think have the potential to make an impact in the treatment field?
Yeah, I mean, I think across the board, there's a number of large clinical trials that are being evaluated across different solid tumors that are of larger scale that will give us some and that are being supported by various companies that we hope will give us some sense of the signal that we may gain from vaccines. This may take a little bit more time before they're read out, but already in this past year, Moderna had a study where they compared melanoma treated with vaccine and pembrolizumab compared to pembrolizumab alone. This was a phase two randomized trial, and that it did show positive signal for the addition of vaccine. So I do hope that we see more studies in the next year or two.
And what does your research show about the potential of improving the efficacy of these cancer vaccines by combining them with immunotherapy? Are there specific types of immunotherapy that may be more optimal for these kinds of combinations?
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, we were interested in the combination. We were, but also others in the field as well, of coupling together vaccine together with immune checkpoint blockade. I think that rationally it makes a lot of sense. Vaccines have really this important ability of amplifying and generating new antigen-specific immune responses and that immune checkpoint blockade antibodies have the ability to enhance the functionality of T cells that have that antigen specificity. So we always were very interested in this notion of a one-two punch. Aside from that initial sort of speculation, I think across many different studies, there have been numerous instances where that combination has been proven to have a good outcome in our patients. In our own studies, we took care of a few patients with metastatic melanoma who recurred after vaccine, but then went into complete remission after the addition of immune checkpoint blockade that has since been durable and ongoing for several years now. We've actually done a deep dive into studying those patients, and we've been able to see that there is, in fact, evidence of neoantigen-specific T cells that are tracking to the site of tumor. And so one can potentially envision that what the vaccine is doing is actually raising that army of tumor-specific T cells to the site of tumor where you want them to be. And then with the addition of immune checkpoint blockade, it really mobilizes that a group of soldiers to do what they need to do and cytolyze the tumor. I think that going forward, I think we're now at a time of thinking about neoadjuvant therapy. So I think that's an interesting place. This has already been tested using immune checkpoint blockade. I think vaccine is also an interesting idea to put in that setting. I also think that there is the potential for interesting drug combinations that could for enhance the activity of vaccine, not the least being by decreasing tumor burden, which is always a setting that vaccines can perform better.
I see. Thank you for the breakdown. So, beyond that, is there any other cancer vaccine related research you're involved in right now that you also wanted to highlight?
I think there are so many, I think one of the aspects of cancer vaccines is that it is a multi-component type of therapy. And in fact, there is a need for study in all of those different areas. So We already talked a little bit about the different kind of antigen targets that kind of as a community we're actively looking for. I think that there is always an interest in thinking about better adjuvants. I think that there is a strong interest in thinking about better delivery approaches. So there has been so much progress thanks to the pandemic in terms of mRNA research. And I think this is a whole new modality that we really had very little experience with before. And now we have a lot of experience. And so I think it's a great time to pay it forward and see how far we can go with the vaccines using that modality. I think that there's a lot of work that's ongoing in terms of engineering with better biomaterials that we can use to either stimulate antigen-specific T cells or using approaches so that we can improve the priming so we can get the best possible immune response out of our vaccines. And that's a lot. And I think finally, I think in terms of really trying to make this more mainstream, I think we all always have to kind of consider the time and cost consideration. So how do we make vaccines rapidly? And in doing so, I think especially for patients with cancer, we have to consider that we need to deploy the vaccines quickly. So I think having a way to manufacture them in a more rapid and at scale is important.
Yeah, I mean, between the potential immune checkpoint blockade combinations, the targeting of new antigens, it as you said, it's definitely a lot. There are a lot of moving parts involved in this research, but seems like it's going to be an evolving field for years to come. So with all like these like factors in mind, it might be hard to boil everything down to a single interview. But with that said, what do you hope your colleagues take away from this conversation?
I mean, I think it's a message of hope that there is much more that we can do. That I think vaccines can be deployed and combined in so many different ways. And so I think that really, I think we're all trying to move toward a curative approach for cancer. And I think the vaccines end up being a very important part of that toolbox to get us there.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On the Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On the Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.